Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Your Bible, your device, whatever it may be, and you look up 2 Timothy 3:1. I want to talk to you this morning, and I'm asking you to really lean in, okay? I want you to lean in to what God wants to say. I want you to try to be as reverent to the moment and as still as you can be. I know some of you may have to get up and go to the restroom, and if you need to, I understand that, but if you can sit at a ball game for 3 hours and hold it, I mean, I'm just asking you, please, this is something heavy on my heart, and I'm asking you just to do what you can do to remove any distractions and just focus in on what God would want to say. And let's pray. God's will be done. I want to talk to you about living for Christ in dark moments. I want to talk to you about living for Christ in dark moments. Now, I think unless you've been living under a rock, you know over the last few weeks, especially this past week, we have experienced some things in our nation, even in our own state, that we have witnessed, and things that we have seen that have made, I know me, I'm sure all of us, have been hard to process. It's been heavy on us. When we look at all the evil and we look at all the wickedness that we have seen happen in our nation, and by the way, you need to make sure you're praying for this nation. But because of everything that we've seen, and I can just keep going on different events that have happened, but I'm talking about some recent things. Listen, you may not agree with what I'm about to say, and that's fine. We can talk about it later. But for me, as your pastor, I am convinced that we are living in the last of the last days. I am convinced of that. That we are living in the last of the last days. And I say that because, one, because of what we're seeing, but what God's word says. And in 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul was talking really prophetically about some things that were going to happen in the future. And he's speaking to Timothy, and he's letting him know that there is going to be some events that are going to happen that are going to reveal that you're in the last days. Now, we see that in Matthew when Jesus gives signs as well. But this is the verse that God put upon my heart here in 2 Timothy 3:1. And this is what he says. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. I am convinced that we are living in the last days because of what God's word says, and even right here where Paul is prophetically declaring that you will know that you're in the last days because of perilous times that will come. Now, that word perilous, if you were to dig deep into the Greek word there, the actual Greek word for perilous, it means terrible times. It means dangerous times. It means difficult times. It means dark times. And when you think about what Paul was saying, that these are, that perilous times will come. Dangerous times are going to come. Difficult times are going to come. Dark times are going to come. And if you just look at how this truth of perilous times has been reinforced over the past few weeks. I mean, let me just visually remind you of just what happened a few weeks ago when there was a transgender shooter that went onto a school campus in Minnesota and killed children there. And then you think about that reinforcing that perilous times are coming, that they are here. Then you think about what happened in our own state of North Carolina, where the Ukrainian lady here, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, was brutally murdered on a transit system train there in Charlotte. And that's terrible, and it's heartbreaking. If you've seen it, the videos of it, it breaks your heart. But what breaks your heart as well is people sit there and do nothing. And then you think about what happened just a few days ago, where Charlie Kirk was a follower of Jesus Christ, a great man of God who has proclaimed the gospel over many campuses all over this nation, really all over the world, was assassinated in broad daylight in the front of hundreds and hundreds of college students. Friend, listen to me, please. Perilous times are here. Perilous times have come. There is an increase of darkness. You can take that photo down. There's an increase of darkness. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you out of what I believe God has put on my heart. There is an increase of demonic activity that has waged war for the soul of this nation, for the heart of this nation, for control of this nation. There is a demonic war, a demonic activity that has waged war against this nation, against the church. Charlie Kirk was a Christian. The place there, those kids, I mean, a place where they could grow on Christian foundation, shot and murdered. Demonic war has been waged to stop the spreading of the truth of God's word. Demonic war has been waged to instill fear into the hearts of and the minds of people. Demonic war has been waged to destroy your life and your family before the return of Jesus Christ. The hour that we are living in is dark. These are perilous times. They are dangerous. They are difficult. They are dark days. In fact, this past week when President Trump, I have a picture there of President Trump where he addressed the nation. And when he was addressing the nation, he was referring to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And in that assassination that had happened, taking Charlie Kirk's life, the president said in his speech to America, he said, "This is a dark moment for America. This is a dark moment for America." I think we can all agree today that we're having more and more dark moments. Perilous times have come. Dangerous times have come. Dark moments have come. Listen to me, they are here. Demonic indoctrination trying to destroy the minds of our children. Demonic indoctrination being poured into our college campuses. Lawlessness, violence, evil, wickedness, and now even bloodshed. It seems to be coming more and more frequently. In those dark moments that we are experiencing, many people, and I've had conversations, I've read things going on this week, listen to me, many people are sincerely asking this question. They're not trying to be sarcastic. They're not trying to be mad or throw a fist up to God. They are sincerely asking this question. Where is God? Where is God? And why would God allow this evil? And I'm going to stand before you today and make a confession to you that I don't fully understand. I stand before you today not knowing how to fully answer that question. I don't fully know how to respond to that question. I don't pretend to know the answer. I don't fully know why there's evil acts that are allowed. I don't fully understand why evil things and bad things happen to good people. I don't fully understand why some people die way too soon. I don't fully understand why some people suffer so greatly in this life. But here's what I want you to know. I can't focus on what I don't know. What I do is I focus on what I do know. And what I do know is God is love. God is all comfort. God is in control. God is at work. And what I do know is that God's word says this right here, that suffering is the result of sin and in a sin-broken world. And this is what I do know. The truth of God's word tells me that we live in a world that is infected with sin, and sin produces suffering, and sin produces death. For the wages of sin is death. Not God, but sin. And the result of sin that produces suffering and death. And here's what we need to understand this morning. Please hear me. Even as followers of Jesus Christ, we live in this sin-infected world. And we are not immune to suffering. We're not immune to pain. We're not immune to calamity. We're not immune to crisis. We're not immune to tragedy. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. And just like many of you that are here, I know a lot of godly people who love Jesus with all of their heart. They love Jesus with all of their soul, and they have suffered tremendously in this life. I know people like that. I know people like that right now that are suffering in their bodies. Even in this moment, they're suffering. And the Bible tells us, listen to me, please. The Bible tells us that God is not the creator of sin. He's not the creator of suffering. In fact, when God created the world, we find it in Genesis, he made it perfect because he says, what I have made it good. And he has made it good. But then Adam, just like all of us who has a free will, in his disobedience to God, he sinned against God and has separated him from God. And now that sin has entered into this world, there is pain, there is suffering, and it's all because of the devil, the serpent, who has deceived Adam, and now sin has entered into the world. So when Adam sinned, hear me now, when Adam sinned, he dragged all of creation down with him. We have this sin nature. We are sinners. We sin. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When Adam sinned in the garden, his sin dragged all of us down in creation. And listen, creation at that point was corrupted by sin. It was corrupted by sin. And all the evil and all the wickedness and all the darkness that we are experiencing, that we see happening around us, is the result of sin. It's because we live in a sin-infected world. And because we live in a sin-infected world, terrible times are going to come. Dark moments are going to come. Listen to me. There's going to be some dark moments that are going to happen in your life personally. There's going to be some dark moments that are going to happen in our life as a church. There's going to be some dark moments that come that are going to impact this nation. They're going to come. These dark moments are going to come to us in this world because we live in a sin-infected world. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, in this world there will be, not there might be, but there will be troubles, there will be tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah to that. As a follower of Jesus Christ, dark moments are going to come. Suffering, brokenness, misery, suicide, pain, troubles, crisis, cancer. These dark moments are going to come. Perilous times will come. I wish I could open my Bible and tell you that if you'll read it here, there's an easy way for you. I wish I could open my Bible and say to you that there's an easy way. I wish I could tell you from the Bible there's a pain-free way. I wish I could open my Bible and tell you there's a trouble-free way, but I cannot tell you that because the Bible says that it will be dark moments in your life. There will be dark moments in your life. And what do we do when they come? What do we do when they come? I've seen it. I mean, I've even experienced, you know, when the dark moments come, the perilous times come, when things are dangerous, when things are difficult, when things get dark. People, they go from one end to the other. They can respond in so many different ways. I've seen it. One of the ways that people respond when we're in perilous times, they retreat. They retreat. You listen, what they do is they run and they hide. And they isolate themselves. How many of you know that's what the devil wants you to do? The devil wants you, listen, when the dark times comes, he wants you to run and try to hide and isolate yourself so you're all alone. And that's easy prey for the devil when you're all alone, isolated. People retreat when dark times come. They retreat by taking a pill, hoping that's going to numb the pain. People retreat by turning up a beer bottle or a liquor bottle, hoping they can drown the pain. I've seen it happen. I've experienced it in my own life. And people can just decide, you know what? I'm done. I'm dropping out of life. And they retreat and they give up. And if they don't retreat, a lot of people decide, I'm going to resent. I'm going to resent. When the dark moments come, they're going to decide to just resent. What do? They grumble to God. They get mad with God. They shake their fist at God. And they begin to blame God for the suffering. They begin to blame God for all the tragedy and the crisis and that's happened personally in their life and what's going on in the nation. But instead of blaming God, what they should be doing is blaming Satan and blaming sin, because that's the result of that, and they should not resent God. And then a lot of people, when dark moments come, they retreat, they resent, and then they resign. They just throw in the towel and they quit. A lot of people resign. They say, you know what? I didn't sign up for all this. All the battles that have brought discouragement. I didn't sign up for this. So you know what? I'm throwing in a towel and I'm quit. This thing about following Jesus, I'm done. I'm resigning from this. I'm just going to live any old way I want to live. If this is what I'm going to get for serving the Lord, and they resign, they just quit. And can I just tell you right now that another thing, I didn't even put it on, the Lord dropped it in my heart this morning. You know, a preacher, you kind of keep the letters going. You can retreat, you can resent, you can resign, but you know what I found out, and this has just dropped in my heart this morning, is revenge. You know, when the enemy comes and begins to attack or whatever, we want to get revenge. What we going to do? What we going to do? All this stuff going on in the nation, what we going to do? We're going to get some revenge. No, vengeance belongs to the Lord. We just put it in God's hands. We don't get mad and get angry and filled with hate and say, you know what? It's time for payback. It's time for some revenge. They said this. They hurt me. They did this to my family. No, vengeance belongs to the Lord. And so instead of retreating and resenting and resigning and having revenge, what we need to do in dark moments is rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Rely on Jesus to help us, to heal us, to encourage us. Rely on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I say this to you, as dark moments come, perilous times are here. It's going to be a challenge for the church, but it's also going to be an opportunity for the church. And so I want to just take a few minutes and share with you how to stand firm against the enemy's strategies in these last days. How can we live for Christ in these dark moments? Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, live your life trusting in Jesus Christ. Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to put your trust in Him right now for the forgiveness of your sins. Come on, friend. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He came here. He was sinless. He was obedient to the cross. He died on the cross. He was buried. On the third day, He was raised back to life. If you'll put your faith in Him, He will save you. He will give you a new life. He will forgive you of all your sins, and you can have a home in heaven. You can live for Christ with a peace in your heart today. Hallelujah. Trust in Jesus. That's numero uno. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus for the salvation of your soul. Trust in Jesus when everything in the world seems like it's spiraling out of control. Trust in Jesus that when it's out of control, he's still in control. Come on, friend. You listen, it may be spinning in your world, and you may need somebody to nudge you on the side. Listen, don't you forget, Jesus is in control. Come on, he's in control. Live your life trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, live your life in prayer. When the darkness increases, we need to pray more. When we see what's happened in our own state and over this nation over the last few days, when we see that perilous times are here and coming more and more, we need to pray more. We need to seek God's presence more in our life. You need to have a vibrant prayer life personally. You need to be involved in a corporate prayer life where you're coming to church and you're fellowshipping and praying with other people. Prayer is a part of your spiritual warfare. Prayer is powerful. In fact, Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, he said, pray in the Spirit on all of occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. When you pray, listen to me, please. When perilous times come and dangerous things happen around us and things that we see going on in our nation, put down the phone and start praying. Put down the phone and start praying. You don't have to make a comment on every little thing about how. No, you know what? Just pray. If my people call by my name, will pray. Pray and seek the Lord. Pray for his peace. Pray for God's protection. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. Pray for the leaders of our nation. Pray for our law enforcement. Pray for our military. Listen, live your life in prayer. When perilous times come, you need to be a prayer warrior. Come on. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what life's falling apart. Everything's just crashing down. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't even see a reason for it. No, pray. Get in the presence of God and let the presence of God just begin to work so he can pour out his Spirit upon you. Pray. It may be a simple prayer, even like Peter, who was seeking, Lord, help me. Just pray. Pray together, pray, and live also with courage. When dark moments come, live with courage. This is a charge to this church, to the followers of Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous in Joshua 1:9. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When dark moments come, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's the strategy of the enemy right now, is to put fear into our life. He wants to put fear into your life, because when he puts fear into your life, he will paralyze you from moving forward with Jesus. The enemy wants you to cower. The enemy wants you to bow down to him. But here's what I declare today. This is a house full of Joshuas, a house full of Daniels, a house full of Pauls in this place, that we are not going to cower. We're not going to bow down. We're going to be a Joshua. We're going to be a Daniel. We're going to refuse to bow down to the enemy. We're going to have courage. We're going to have courage. In the book of Acts, Acts 4:13, when Peter and John were under attack by the enemy. I love this. When they were under attack by the enemy for their faith, I think about what happened this past week with Charlie Kirk and just comparing scripture to where we are in our day to day. And the Bible says that the enemy saw their courage. They were under attack by the enemy, and the Bible says that the enemy saw Peter and John's courage. I don't know about you, but I'm making notice today, sending it out in a bulletin. You can broadcast it wherever you want. I want the enemy to see my courage. I want the enemy to see my courage. I want the enemy to see your courage. I want the enemy to look and say, that man, that woman, that's the courageous man of God. That's the courageous woman of God. I want the enemy to take notice of my courage. Have courage. Speak the truth of God's word with courage. Speak the truth of God's word with courage. People are afraid to speak the truth with courage. Speak it with courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. And I'm going to go down this rabbit trail because it's all in the news with everything going on. But I'm going to speak the truth in love. I'm going to speak with courage and declare that marriage is between a man and a woman. Come on, hallelujah. If you're wondering where we stand here biblically, well, I'm just preaching to you the word. He said, the man of cleave to his wife, man and woman married. Hello. I'm going to just keep going a little bit further here because I feel like you need to know so you can start talking to people and letting them know there is only two genders. There is only, oh, hold on, don't clap yet. There's only two genders, male, female, male, female. The word of God declares there's two genders. And listen, when you're talking to people, and my wife works in the school system, not everybody there that's a student is a Christian. And I gotta be careful what I say about who she treats in there, but there's some messed up minds going on in the students out there in these high schools. And I'm like, you know what? What if they don't believe the scripture? What if they don't say, I don't believe the scripture? Well, how about believing the science behind it? When you were born, you got chromosomes. If you're a man, you have XY. If you're a woman, you have XX. You can take all the pills you want. You can have all the surgeries you want. You can have a behavior that's contrary to the word of God, but it doesn't change. You're either a man or a woman. XY man, XX woman. You are a man or a woman. There's no other gender. If they don't believe the scripture, give them the science. Speak the truth of God's word with courage. You think the enemy's going to let up? Stand for righteousness with courage. Fight the good fight of faith with courage. Run your race with courage. In the dark moments of your life, do not be a coward. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Don't let the enemy silence your voice. We've seen that happen in some very different kind of ways over these last few weeks. Listen, I'm going to just tell you, man, I was a little bit rattled Wednesday night when I got home. I was fired up. I was a little upset. I was encouraged by what God was doing, but I was just mad at what the enemy's doing. And as soon as I could get to where I could get both my boys together, I brought them and I said, all right, let's come to Jesus meeting. And here's what you need to know. Listen to me. I'm giving you some permission. I'm letting you know right now, if you're ever in a situation like them people were on that train in Charlotte, and somebody is being brutally stabbed and murdered right before your eyes, you best better not sit there and do nothing. You better get up and you better fight for them. Just don't sit. Do something. Have courage. I'd rather for you to die doing something than to die to be a coward. And that's what they said. Yes, Daddy. And then I reminded him this. One of my boys made this comment. He's a big fan of Charlie Kirk. You know, it's sad that nobody can even have an opinion or even speak what they feel is right in their heart, which we know what he was speaking was truth. And I was like, yeah, you're right. But that's what the enemy wants to do. You see, the enemy wants to silence your voice. He wants you to be quiet. He wants you to have fear. And see, I want to just encourage both of you. I'm talking to my boys. You listen, I don't care what happens to you. I don't care what happens around us. Listen, please just let me know. You will never cower down. You will never bow down. That you will have a voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up for the Lord. Stand up for the Lord. I don't care. You might get attacked. You might even get assassinated as we've seen this week. But whatever you do, don't be a coward. Don't be a coward. Stand with Jesus. Have courage. You know, in the couple of videos ago or that Charlie Kirk did, I keep referring to him because I want to just pay honor and tribute to one of our Christian brothers. You know why you hurt? Because he's a brother in Christ. He said, the two things I want to be remembered for, this is what he said a while back. He said, I want to be remembered for my faith in Christ and my courage, and my courage. Man, I'm thinking, I hope I'm remembered that way. I hope every one of you in this house are remembered that way. What was the greatest thing about that brother or sister? Oh, they had great faith and they had great courage. The darker the days come, we need courage. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Be bold for the Lord. Live for the Lord, knowing He's your salvation. Live with courage, knowing He's your salvation. Live with courage, knowing that He's your shield. Live with courage, knowing that He's with you. Live with courage, knowing that He's your helper. Live with courage, knowing that to live is Christ and to die is gain. That I will not be afraid to die, because if I die, I'm moving right on over to heaven to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Live with courage. I'm almost there. Live with hope. Psalm 42:11 says, put your hope in God. Come on, church, I'm talking to you. In dark moments, put your hope in God. In dark moments, live with hope, knowing that our God is an awesome God. In dark moments, live with hope, knowing that our resurrected Lord has defeated the grave. You need to live with hope in dark moments, knowing that Jesus can turn every hurt into a hallelujah. He can turn every pain, every sorrow into a song of praise. You can live with hope, knowing that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning through Jesus Christ. You can live with hope, knowing that Jesus is building His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You can live with hope, knowing that one day, and I believe very soon, Jesus is coming back, King of kings, Lord of lords, and He's going to establish His kingdom and He will rule and reign. Hallelujah. Don't ever lose your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever lose your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the hope that is an anchor for your soul. We're almost there. Live with love. Live with love. The Bible says in Romans 12:9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. We love because Jesus first loved us. When the Bible says that in the perilous times, in the last days, when the love of most will grow cold, the church ought to be reflecting the love of Jesus more and more. God, help us to love. May we show love to all the people that we meet. May we show love to all the people we meet. May we show love to all the people we meet. God, help me. Show love to your family. Show love to your friends. Show love to your brother and sister in Christ. Show love to your enemies. In the darkest moments, live with love. Live with love. Love covers a multitude of sin. Live with light. Live with light. In the same way, in the darkest of moments of life, Jesus said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Live with light. When the world's getting darker, the church ought to be getting brighter. We need to let our light shine. Let your light shine. Let it shine at home. Let it shine at work for Jesus Christ. Let it shine at your schoolhouse. Let it shine here in the church. Let it shine in the community. Let your light shine, all for the glory of God. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. May your light shine. Lord, help my light shine. May our light shine for Jesus. Live with endurance. Live with endurance. When the dark moments come, let me just say to you, friend, don't give up and don't give in. Endure. Jesus said, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Live your life with endurance. Keep moving forward with Jesus. Keep moving forward. Keep going. Listen, the truth is, you may be here this morning and some dark moments have knocked you down in your life. If you have been knocked down by the dark moments, I say to you right now, in the name of Jesus, get up and keep going. Endure, endure to the end, Jesus said, because the one that endures to the end shall be saved. Endure. Live with endurance. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep running. Keep holding on to Jesus through whatever it is that you're going through. Latch on to the Lord and never let go. And endure. Because it's going to be worth it, friend. It's going to be worth it. When this dark moment's happening around us, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. Satan, you're not going to win. I'm latched on to the Lord. I'm looking to the Lord. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And finally here, somebody said thank you when I said finally. Pastor Kevin, Lord help him. You want to come play for me? Thank you. Hallelujah. Live with endurance. The final thing I want to tell you here is live with purpose. Live with purpose. Live your life with purpose. I know it's dark and I know things look discouraging, but listen, know that God has a purpose over your life. I don't care who you are, what season you're in, God has a purpose for you. I'm reminded even with Esther in Esther 4:14, when the dark moments had come in that culture to those people. In the dark moments of that situation and that culture and all those people, she was reminded that could it be that God has put you in the kingdom here for such a time as this? Oh, I mean, I'm praying, come, Lord Jesus, come. And come quickly, but until you come, I know I have purpose. Every single one of you in this house today, live with purpose. You could have been born in God's providence, in God's sovereignty. You could have been born at any time in history. But God has you here for such a time as this. Such a time as this. You need to remember when the dark moments come, the church should arise for this moment, this time. Listen to me. This is our finest hour. People right now are confused. They're scared. Man, my phone, I got some conversations going on Friday afternoon and like people calling me, what in the world's going on? What are we going to do? What's happening to our world? They're confused. They're scared. They feel hopeless. A lot of people don't even know which way to turn. A lot of people are on the resentment side, the retreat side, the revenge side. This is the time. Listen to me, church. This is the time to live with purpose. And let the world know God loves them. He loves them. That he would send his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die for them so they wouldn't perish, but so they could have everlasting life. We have a purpose to let the world know that God cares for them. Live your life with purpose. Young man, young lady, mom, dad, grandparent, I don't care who you are. Live with purpose. Let people know God can save them. God can forgive them. God can make them new. God has a divine purpose for their life. You have a purpose. Our purpose is clear. As Charlie Kirk would say, let's make heaven crowded. Let's make heaven crowded. You know what your purpose is? It's clear. Make heaven crowded. You know what your purpose is? Is to drive back the darkness with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus would be exalted and that the transforming power of God would be displayed from generation to generation like never before. We must not slow down in the work of God. We must not slow down in the work of God. We must not slow down in our witness for Christ. We must not back down in our stance of faith in Jesus. Keep living for Jesus until the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of God's glory. We have a divine purpose to live in a way that will bring glory to God. You're not going to bring glory to God on Facebook bashing everybody. You're not going to do that, arguing with everybody about what's going on in the world. No, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. He's our only hope. He's our only hope. He's the only one that can change them. Jesus is the only one that can save them. He's the only one that can turn their life around. God, help us. There's a world, listen, the world is watching right now for the response of the church. They're watching, and may this be a time that we arise in purpose, knowing that for such a time as this, God has me here to be a vessel to bring glory and honor to His name. I leave you with this verse before we pray. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and it will come, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, keep standing. Keep standing for the glory of God. Would you bow your head with me, please? Nobody looking around. You may be here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ. You're not trusting in Him to be your Savior. You come to church or you've gone through religious rituals all your life, but there's never been a personal relationship with Jesus. And right here in this moment, the Lord, through His Spirit, is saying, today is the day of salvation. Will you surrender your life? Ask for the forgiveness of your sins. Put your trust. You do that by repenting of your sins, receiving Jesus by faith in what He did for you on the cross. And through His resurrection, you're saying, I believe that you have conquered and defeated sin and defeated the grave. And I can be a new person. I can be a new creature, born again. And today I give you my life. I follow you, Jesus, to live for you, Christ. And I give you my life right now in this moment. Would you do that, friend? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, do that right now. Pray, just pray a simple prayer. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, I give you my life from this day forward. Use me that I would walk in your purpose and your will for your glory. I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but I know you shed your blood on Calvary that my sins could be washed away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you all stand together right now? Would you stand? And if you made that decision for Christ, I just encourage you to let somebody know. Maybe you can even fill it out on that card that's on that chair, and you can just leave it at our welcome center or just leave it even in the chair, whatever works, and we'll be glad to help you, to disciple you, to help you grow spiritually. I want to say this to you right now, church. I want you to pray with me. How many of you want to live for Christ in the dark moments of life? Come on, you want to live for Christ. You want to trust the Lord. You want to pray. You want to be light. You want to have hope. You want to love. You want to have courage. You want to have purpose. I want us to pray right now. Would you just hold your hands up to the Lord, every one of you, if that's your desire right now, to live for the Lord. Father, in the darkest moments, we come to you today as a church. And we ask you to, by your Holy Spirit, that you would fill every one of us. God, I pray right now, Lord, that first and foremost, Lord, that we would have some sort of assurance and understanding, God, that suffering and pain is the result of sin. And Lord, I pray and thank you, God, that you are the comforter, you are the helper, you are love, you are grace, you're mercy, you're all we need. So we look to you, God. We rely on you. We don't resist you. We don't resent you. God, we rely on you. And we believe right now, Lord, that you would help us. This is the finest hour for the church. Help us, Lord, to accept the opportunity and the challenge. God, that we would live with trust and faith, that we would live, Lord, with prayer, seeking your presence, that we would live with courage and not be fearful, and that we would live, God, with hope and love and light, and God, that we would live with purpose in our life, God. Help us, God. Fill us right now, Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, every single one of us in this house right now, Lord. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus, to fill us with your spirit right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Spirit of God, fill every one of us that we will receive the help that we need, the healing that we need, the courage that we need. And we pray it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. This altar is open. If anyone needs special prayer, elders and deacons that are here, don't leave, come to the altar. Help us to pray with people. If you need to be dismissed, do it reverently. God bless you. We love you. Stand firm. Stand firm in Jesus. God bless you all. Hug somebody. High five somebody. Let them know you're glad to see them today.